Welcome to Prevailing Prayers with GSW. This promises to be another transformative time with the Word of God. Let your hearts be ready to receive the Word mixed with faith that would yield innumerable testimonies in your life. God bless you as you listen.
Living a meaningful life. Living a meaningful life. Many of us who are born in Africa, especially, were born at a disadvantage when it comes to knowledge and identity. We were deliberately and falsely classified as a dark continent, and the people in the continent are deliberately and falsely labeled as regressive, as anti-progressive, as underdeveloped, as developing, as lagging behind, as invalidating from time immemorial. Unfortunately, when you classify something as something, that thing tends to behave that way. When you classify something as something later as being, that thing tends to behave that way. For example, when Esau and Jacob were in the womb, they were not born yet. Not born yet at all. God said, "Jacob, I love Esau, I hate." When they were born, this played out in their lives. You see, it is not, you will not, in the realm of the spirit, you do not label something according to how it is. It is what it is, what you call it, that it will become. If you call somebody blessed, the person will, no matter what, be blessed. If you call somebody cursed, let the person build a city like Cain. The person is still cursed. When you read your Bible, you will see Cain, who was supposed to be a vagabond. The Bible said they built a city. And many of us would think a vagabond is somebody that is walking up and down like a madman. The Bible said they built a city. People dwelt with him. He became a great man. Cain was a great man in his time. He was the chieftain, like a king. But God has called him a cursed, so he remained a cursed. He became so great that his grandson, Lamech, wanted to be like him. Lamech said, "My father killed one person and became this great. I killed two. I want to be greater than him." But he was already a cursed, and so he couldn't be great. So when you label something, when you say somebody is a failure, the person can do everything in this world. The person can have all the money in this world. The person would still be a failure. When you say somebody is a success, the person can do the barest minimum. The person will still be a success. Example, Esau and Jacob. From the conduct and behavior, Esau and Jacob, we all know that no matter how many sermons you've heard in your life, if you read the story of Esau and Jacob, you will know that Jacob was the bad person. Esau was always minding his business. Let me say that again. Esau will wake up in the morning, he will go about his business. He was living his own life. Esau never woke up one day thinking of how to entrap his brother. He never woke up one day thinking of how to ensnare his brother. He never set a trap for his brother. He never, a typical, if you have children or a friend that is like Esau, he has a plain heart. You don't want a friend that is always plotting how to stab you in the back. How to make you lesser than them. Who made you the agenda of their life? That's not a good way to live. You make somebody the agenda of your life. You're like, every time you see the news, they said he has built a house. I must bring him down. He's greater than me now. I was doing this last, I believe, New Year, January 1st to 4th, myself and my family were in Lagos. I took the family out, so we were staying in a particular place. And an old friend of mine He had been calling me for months. Please, wherever you are in Lagos, let me come and spend Christmas and New Year with you, at least so that I can be in a good environment. You know, I'm alone. My wife had left and children, and I don't have any friend. Please, anytime you're in Lagos, let me just, I just want to sit beside you and just enjoy the atmosphere around you. This guy had been begging. And because he was an old friend, I didn't want him around me. I knew the kind of mindset that he was going to exhibit. But he was always calling and begging. Whenever you're in Lagos, so when I go to Lagos, I said, okay, I'm in Lagos, come around. So he came. First day we sat, we just laughed together, talked. Second day, I was looking at him, we laughed together, we talked. He would talk to me about his business, he wanted me to invest. I would say, no, I'm not investing. He would tell me, okay, he was looking for me to put his hand in my pocket. And I was looking for, and I was so sure, I'm not going to allow him to put his hand in my pocket. So we're talking and talking. Then day three, the final day, came for 3 consecutive days. On day three, he then looked at me when it was around 8 p.m. I said, oh, I think I have a class or a meeting online. And so I said, oh, I'm going to spend more time with you. So today, I'm going to spend this more time than I have to go. And we're sitting at the poolside of a particular place. And he looked at me and he said, How come you are blessed more than me? The question had been in his heart from day one. He just didn't know how to put it out there. He said, I've always been still smarter than you. I've always been finer. I was a Lagos boy. You grew up in Ibadan. Eh? We went to Bodinas together. Everyone went to Bodinas. I knew all the happening guys. You just read your book, you stay in the room. How come you are blessed? How come I am like this and you are like that? You don't want people like that around you. You don't want people who are uncomfortable with your success, who are uncomfortable with the fact that you are breathing, the fact that you are alive. You are minding your business. So Esau had gotten married early. He had moved out of his father's house. He was no longer living in the same house with them. He had moved on with his life. But Jacob had made this guy the center of his life. How to plot, how to bring him down. How to be the firstborn. How to be the one that would take the blessing. You know, he had, and Esau, so when the Bible would talk and the Bible would say, Esau disdained his birthright. Many of us, we do not put it in the right perspective. Esau didn't need the birthright. It's like you have a father who is rich, but you have made your own money. When you have children that are poor, they can be fighting over inheritance. A child that has made his own money does not need the father's inheritance. The Bible said that when Jacob died, Esau did not take anything from Jacob's inheritance, from Isaac's inheritance. He didn't take anything. That said, when they came to bury their father, that both of them were so rich. That's a lie. Jacob was poor. Go and read it. The Bible said they were so mighty that they took over the everywhere. It was Esau that took over everywhere. Jacob had a very small portion. Well, you know, there it is. Because sometimes if you read this the way they are written, you will realize that perspective can alter the truth. Jacob had 72 people in his camp. That's all, 72. Esau had a whole city of Edom. Please, who is richer? Who is greater? But the key here is that Esau went about his own business, making his own money, building cities, planning his life, making something of his destiny. He did not think of making money off somebody. So you see the mindset that Jacob had. First, he wanted to take things off Esau. Then he took away the blessing from him. He first took away the birthright, but he didn't go out to go and work and make something of himself. He stayed inside the house and he was making enemy of those who are living inside the house. He was trying to take money out of people's pocket instead of making money for himself, going out there, start a business, start a company, get a job. You know, He was one of those guys that would be saying, but I mean, God, nobody is here to help me. My destiny empire is not here. Nobody wants to help me. My family members are rich. No, there are some people, they will come for prayer. They come for prayer. They say, but I mean, God, let me tell you something. I say, what is it? See, my uncle is admiral in the army. He didn't help me. My father's first wife has four children. All of them are abroad. They never helped me. My father's second wife has three children. All of them are also abroad. They don't help me. I have a brother in Kuwait. You know, the Kuwait money is the strongest in the world. Do you know that? Even if he sent me like 1,000 money of Kuwait, do you know that? I will be sending them. They don't help me. Then my siblings, all of them, they don't help me. People that have that kind of mentality, they are like Jacob. They do not think of ventures. They do not think of the way to make themselves prosperous. It is always somebody else's money, somebody else's sweat, somebody else's effort that they are coveting. Always, always, their target is always somebody else. If they are working with somebody, they will envy the person no end. If they are friends with somebody, they will envy their friend to the point of destruction. Everybody that's successful around them, they will envy the person. But they do not sit up and say, hey, I also have the ability to make money. They don't. So Jacob moved from trying to get the better of Esau, which he did, to trying to get the better of Laban. You see now, it is always about the person. Always about the person. Always about the person. The first time Jacob will have a breakthrough, do you know what happened? I'm telling you the truth. Go and read your Bible. The first time he would be innovative in his life. The very first time he will not look at anybody's pocket. When he has tried to outplay Laban, and Laban had shown him that he was master of deception. Because in Laban's family, they deceive a lot. Rebecca is also a master of deception. Laban, master of deception. Jacob took their intestine, Yoruba language. Jacob took their intestine. He was also a master of deception. They have cunningness in their gene from his mother's side. They were cunning from his mother's side. Isaac was a born into wealth. He had nobody to fight with or to contend with. He did not even understand what it means to be cunning. He was a straightforward guy. And Esau was also a straightforward guy. If you are going to count anybody by in the virtue of morality, being straightforward, minding his business, that's Esau. Do you know how in the things they faltered him? They faltered him because they said he was wild. What do you mean by wild? He does things his own way. He did not sit down at home and be saying, Daddy, help me plan my life. Mommy, do I go to Bowen or go to Covenant? Mommy must choose for me who I will marry. Daddy must choose for me who I will marry. Because he chose to live his own life on his terms. The Bible recorded that Esau was wild. But Jacob that sat at home, who was doing nothing except mommy will feed him, mommy will, that's a good boy. Oh boy. Oh boy. But when he had been cheated, both in marriage and financially, and he had his 11th child, and he couldn't increase his wages, and things were tough, he realized he couldn't beat Laban. For the first time, Jacob looked outward. That is where I'm going into this teaching. When I say live a meaningful life, I'm asking you to look outward. Jacob, for the first time, looked beyond his own brain, his own senses, his own tactical ability, his own conny behavior. He had no other cards to play. He had outplayed, outfoxed himself. He had no other cards to play. But his wife, he has four women at home to feed. And he had 11 children. And he didn't know what to do. Laban came that morning and Laban said to him, "What? Come and do a report. And he gave Laban the report of the last 1 year of his shepherding business. And Laban saw that, oh, he had increased as usual. The sheep, the goats, the cattle, everything has doubled or trebled the number. And Laban said, okay, I want to start a business off. I want to start off my sons off in business. So we are going to take all the speckled and dotted ones. We are giving them to my sons. And we are leaving only the white seedlings with you to rear for another 1 year. And I was like, oh my God, this is not the first time you are doing this. You will give me 100 sheep, I will turn it to 1,000. Then you will come back and you take 900. And you leave me with 100 again to start all over again. Let me keep the 1,000 so that you can turn to 10,000. Laban said, no, you'll be too rich like that. We'll take the 900, we'll give you 100. That's our agreement. You'll take 100. At the end of 1 year, I will come back. You will give me 900. So Jacob said, okay, what is the terms now? I don't want 100 again. I want specific kinds of animals. Okay, what do you want? I want the ones that are dotted and speckled. Laban said, okay, so you want dotted and speckled? Said, yes, okay. No problem. I agree to your terms. And then Laban removed all the dotted and speckled ones and left Jacob with only the white ones. Which then means Jacob has to think. He has to find a way to make his white sheep produce dotted and speckled offsprings so that he can have covenant. For the first time, he couldn't think of a way to dupe anybody. He has to think. Bible said he was thinking. He was thinking, how do I do this? How do I survive? How do I come out of this? How will I be able to feed my family? How will I get profit from this man? I've served this man for over 20 years. I have nothing to show for it. I cannot go back home. I'm homesick, but I don't want to go back home empty. But I have blessing on my life. How do I do this? And then he saw a vision. For the first time, when a man comes to the end of himself, he will have to step out of himself. You have to step out. When you are that tired of going to my uncle, my auntie, my niece, my friend, my best friend, entering people's DM in social media, begging for hair time, for food, putting all your problems out there, trusting that something will happen to you so that you can go and share testimony in church on Sunday that, I didn't even know the person. I just randomly sent him a message. The Holy Spirit gave me a nudging in my spirit to go and beg. Ha! People use the Holy Spirit to tell all sorts of lies. So I just had this leading in my spirit to go to him, to go and beg him to please pay for my lunch or something. The Holy Spirit does not do that at all. Holy Spirit does not beg in any capacity for any reason. Does it nudge his children to beg? He opens our eyes to see the truth, to see ourselves as we are, that we might become the fullness of God that has been destined for us to be. And so when he stepped out, he saw a way to make the animals produce the result he wanted. And this way, he wasn't putting his hand in anybody's pocket. For the first time, he was turning his environment into his own advantage, taking advantage of his own environment. Many of us do not understand our environment yet. We have not even mastered our environment. Many of us here. And as born-again Christians, it is important. Your wealth is usually tied to your environment. A lot of people don't know it, but it's the truth. When you look at the environment, you look at the weaknesses and the strengths. For example, one of the things that I may end up doing myself because nobody else has taken it up to do is creating a proper Christian dating app. I'll not call it a dating app. I'll call it like a matchmaking app. I know there is a problem in society all over the world, especially in Africa and Nigeria, that there are a lot of people who want to get married and they couldn't get good matches. I know. And I know that a lot of Christians find themselves on Tinder and other kinds of dating apps where they meet all sorts of corrupt people. One of my sisters called me, you know, from a faraway country. She called me and she said, I met this guy on a dating app. He invited me to date. I went on a date with him. After the date, and this is me being accountable. This is me being accountable. But I've been, guy, I know you are going to talk, but I must tell you what happened because my conscience is heavy. After the date, we had some food, we had some drink. He invited me over to his place. And I went, you know, I've been alone here for a long time. I've not had to, but no. He started giving me excuses upon excuses. And I understand. Yeah, somebody living so far away from home, living alone, far away country. You get to a point to get lonely. You want to have somebody to talk to. And sometimes the terms are stiff. Sometimes the terms are stiff. The compromise you have to make, it will make you seem as if you are no longer yourself. People don't understand it. I do. I put myself. I'm not religious by any means. So I always see people in their situation as truly is. And so it is difficult for you to judge somebody who is living in New Zealand, who is alone in New Zealand, who has no friend, no father for 9 years. Then the person tells you that, so one day I went for a date and then I said to somebody, you will not say, ah, you have committed, just shut your mouth. How do you know? Oh, shut it. Shut it. The person should be in her husband's house. By all standards, should be married with children, if not for economic reasons that is taking people away from where many people are supposed to be. Some people do not have any business chasing money into strange lands. Somebody like me, if you go and put me in North America or not somewhere, I'll be Antarctica. Just pray for my soul. Just pray for my soul. It's true. Just pray for my soul. Just say, ah, I mean, God, au revoir. Because I'll be like a fish out of water. And there are some people, that is their calling. When they travel, they thrive. And there are some people, they are coping. They are really coping. Some, to have somebody to talk to on the phone for 2 hours, 3 hours, or 1 hour a day, or even 30 minutes, somebody that will dedicate 30 minutes just to talk to them, they are looking for. I mean, nobody who their time difference. One of the reasons why one of my brothers, he was talking to me, said, it's a time difference. So it's time difference. When she's sleeping is when I'm waking up. Who wants to die? I would not be giving me because I have to talk to a girl. No, I started laughing because it's the truth. Again, you only have to have lived abroad to understand what those who live abroad go through. And to understand that eventually, when they find that person, they are hoping that, because it's not as if there are so much options. So when they eventually find that one person, they try to fit in. Even if they can see that's a red flag, they sometimes just overlook it. For the sake of the barest minimum, at least I have somebody to talk to. I have somebody to argue with. Because if you are living alone, you argue with yourself. Do you know? You don't know. Bachelor said we know. When I was a bachelor, I used to argue with my pots. I'm not kidding. I'm cooking domain. Well, I'm eating. I'll put the pot in the sink. I will sleep. I now wake up. I want to cook another food. I now get to the kitchen. I now see that pot has not been washed. I now start talking to the pot. What is it called? What is it that mocks me? I now see that. I go, why? What is the point? You see now, I'll be arguing with myself. I'll be washing the pot and the goblin. I see it was my mommy that said I should go and wash pot. Is it not me that wanted to eat? I just look at them, I just shake my head. Because if you cook the food, it's bad. You eat like that. There's nobody to blame. If you cook it, it's good. You compliment yourself. Sometimes you eat it, you cook it, you cannot eat it. You throw it in the dustbin, then you go and sleep like that. I mean, you just assume that the dustbin is your tummy and that you have fed yourself. And then you go and sleep. So again, you notice this kind of social problems and you try to find a solution. And you try to find a solution within the limits of Christianity, within the bounds of Christianity, so that you do the right matches. So that it is not as if you are joining Christians, don't believers, and all of them are just thinking, are you male? You know, when I say any dating app and they are putting, hey, are you gay? Are you straight? Are you into I would say this is not a Christian thing. Christians should have their own stuff. And it's not as if Christians don't have the money. Christians just lack the vision. I mean, Christians lack the, they do not understand the mandate of Christ. Therefore, they would not create an ecosystem that benefits the kingdom. Mm-mm. They want to create one that benefits the denomination. So they want to have a TV station for RCCG. They want to have a TV station for the Catholic Church. They want to have a CCCG. They want to have their own TV stations, which nobody else will benefit from because nobody wants to watch. They have not come to the reality that by fragmenting themselves within the kingdom, they are shortchanging themselves because Christ intends for us to work together. They've not seen that. And it's time for some Christians that have a vision to say, no, it's time for us to, somebody wrote to me yesterday saying, they are putting LGBTQ materials in some of the cartoons and all that. And the person said to me, I'm trusting God for the resources. I'm going to buy all those studios. I'm going to buy their materials. We're going to have Christian cartoons that will be as animated and as beautiful as the one that the world does, but we will edit out all the nonsense they're putting into it. And I was saying, go, this is the right mindset, that you can have the superior number, you can have the superior wealth, and yet be this shortchanged in this world is very, very unfortunate. That you can, that somebody can brainwash Christians to begin to stammer against LGBTQ activities. That Christians do not have a standing, and yes, yes, they have the largest number in the West. It's as a result of not being locked down in identity, not being progressive in thinking. It shouldn't be a mistake that our generation should make. So as much as we pray, and we like to pray, a lot of Christians would rather pray than act. As much as we pray, we must be deliberate about solving problems. That is how to have a meaningful life, to live a meaningful life. A meaningful life is not a life where you just parent, work and parent, and take yourself to watch the cinema once in a while, and then meet your friends and then sleep. That's not a meaningful life. A meaningful life is a life of impact. A life where you touch other lives, not for charity, not that just a BMI wants to, we are giving widows money, so we are living a meaningful life. No. That's part of religion. In fact, that's religion. Jesus Christ said religion is to remember the widows and the orphans and the fatherless. So that's religion. That's the religious aspect of our faith. Is every other charity activity we are doing is religion. But impact, meaning, is to be able to touch other people. To be able to help other people, to be able to solve their problems long term, to be able to look at the environment and harness the environment and take advantage of the environment so that those who are in that environment benefit from it. That is when you are living a life that is full of impact, that is meaningful. And that doesn't require money. I have a Christian brother that went to visit him one day at his house, somewhere in Lagos. When I got to his house, the pastor, bishop, when I got to his house, I said, bishop, I said, eh? I said, I'm sorry, don't be offended, but I'm quite disappointed. He said, why? I said, all the waste sewage in your streets, they are full, they are black, they are dirty, full of water. There is flies everywhere, and you live here. He said, oh, we are going there. We are written to the local government. We are written to this, we are written to that. I said, no, it's not acceptable. See, it is absolutely not acceptable. I cannot live here. I can't. If I'm going to live in a place, you must, my impact, you must see that I'm living there. He said, you have no impact in this environment. You just come in at night, then you get in the car, and you drive far away to work. So you basically are a stranger in your on your street. Most people don't even know you live here. They don't know who you are. Your church is like 10 kilometers away. So you came to hide yourself inside this estate and your family, and then you just get in the car, go and come back. That's your life. But your environment, they don't really know you. Why? We had a lengthy talk. The very next day, he got members of a team. They came to clean all the gutters. They didn't ask anybody for money. They didn't ask anybody for anything. By doing that, they took away disease from that street. They took away the smell. They took away, people began to pay attention that some people are doing something. They were asking them, are you from the local government? They said, no, they are from so and so church, and that their bishop lives here. He's the one that said they should come and clean it. They began to do it every 3 months. Do you know, when the last election cycle came and they began to do campaign, they came to his house, the politician came to his house to invite him to come and speak. Because by that time, he has made a name for himself in that area. Everybody now knows him that, this is the man that... So he was the one in charge of the... whoever he endorses will win the election. Because people wanted him to guarantee that what you are doing on your street will be done all over the streets in the local government. And they wanted to hold him responsible for the local government chairman that will do that. So they came to him and they said, sir, please, these people want election. They want to campaign again. We don't want to vote for any of them, but who will tell us to vote for them? They must clean, you must see their impact. And that's how this, my friend, became a kingmaker at the local government level. He never saw that coming when he wasn't engaging. But when he began to engage, he didn't know that it would lead to people making him a kingmaker one day. This happened in Lagos not 10 years ago, 2023. Because when you do not impact your environment, when you do not impact your immediate environment, your glory will not shine. People say, God, give me, I want a glory. Yeah, glory that has, you think that glory, glory must have impact. And it is not impact of a biker. No. Glory means shining the light in a place that is dark. The glory. If you understand the way people pray for glory, I just look at them. You don't have any impact on the environment. You think only of yourself. You're thinking only of, but you want to be glory. Was that how the glory of Jesus was expressed? The glory of Jesus was expressed through impact. He engaged the society. He made a difference in society. That was how his glory became proclaimed. Engaging society, making an impact in society. That's how people get to know you. That's how you begin to have a voice in society. That's how people pay attention to you, or they take note of you. And that's how you can become a voice in society. Nobody will just pick you out of nowhere and say, come and represent me, without having any impact. They do not know you. They don't know what you stand for. You have not benefited them in any way. But all of you are on equal footing. Just expect that you will pray, and then out of 20 people, they will choose you. But if you have an impact and you are doing something and they can see the expression of glory, everybody will say, oh, pick that guy, pick that guy. It is a no-brainer. When I was at university, when they are doing group projects, always everybody will say, ah, Jesus has to be group leader. Why? Because if I lead a group, my group must win. I have a very strong desire to win. I have a strong, when I was in school, it was unhealthy. Now it is healthy. But when I was in school, it was a very unhealthy, competitive spirit. I cannot be in a class, no matter how many groups, and my group will not come first. It is impossible. And that means I will do everything to make sure that my group wins. I had a very choleric disposition to excellence. But as I grew, I realized, okay, take it easy. So I began to take it easy. But I'm saying that now because a lot of us are not engaging at all. Meaningful life is not just religious. It's not just, oh, I'm born again. If you are born again, where is the expression of being born again? How can a city be set on a hill and be hidden? That's not a paradox. There is a city set on the hill, and so you shouldn't be hidden. How can a city be set on a hill and it is hidden. How can you be in an environment and it is not feeling your impact? How can you have people around you at work and there is no impact? You are born again, you are full of the Holy Spirit, you can heal the sick, you can solve problems. You know, there's one preacher I know of, many of us will know him, Mr. Leke Alder. I've never met him personally, and I've never been under any of his teachings. One of the things I like about him is the fact that people feel the impact of his Christianity. They feel the impact so much that they would invite him to speak where pastors speak, as in invite him to speak on the same podium with pastors, with general overseers. They would give him the microphone to teach pastors. Why? Because of his impact. He has a forward-thinking mindset in which his environment becomes his playground. When he works with the bank, his environment is his playground. When he's in a place in his community environment, he sees continuously a way to engage his environment and make impact. And I'm challenging every one of us to begin to do the same. You must think this way. The solution that, oh God, come and bless me, the blessing you need comes from there. It may not be financial. It could just be like Ruth and Boaz. It could just be that the person that you're supposed to get married to, it could just be that when you engage that environment, that's how the person will notice you. And because you don't engage, the person has not seen you. It could just be that. It could also be in terms of a better job. You could do some community service today, thinking that you're just doing it for society. Tomorrow, I remember one time, they wanted the community representative in the United UNDP to attract their employee, and they wanted to employ somebody for community engagement. And a lot of people applied, and they couldn't take them because they had not done any project that they could present as, oh, I did this in my community. But they wanted the job because it would pay in dollars. And it was funny to me how, if I was looking for a job, they would have given me the job. I have pictures. I can give you anything. Community engagement. Oh, my God. That time, in fact, if not because I know that it's not, I was thinking, should I just package something as and collect the dollars? But I know that, of course, I would have the time. But nobody could win it. Nobody could get the job because the Nigerians do not think in that light. The former president of the US, Barack Obama, one of the things he was doing before he became president was community engagement, signing up people to register to vote, door to door, talking to communities, getting them to sign up, getting them to register for a political party, getting them to be politically engaged. You know, a lot of Nigerians now, a lot of Christians among us, we are looking at Nigeria now. The avenues to make a lot of money in Nigeria is so vast. But a lot of us don't think in that direction. There's the way we think. Every time I look at it, I'm just like, oh my God. Election is coming in another 2 years. And everybody will be running about. And nobody has thought of it. Oh, let's create a research center, social research. Let's have a team. Let's raise some money. Let's go into certain communities that do not vote, that have no. Let's talk to them. Let's get the data. Let's get the data. Let's collate it. Let's engage. People are not doing that. But let it be 6 months to election. When political money is out, everybody will start running a task and deceiving themselves. There is no center that I can say, oh, we started this center, this is how it has grown, this is data we collected in this state, in that state, in this state, that politicians will come to you and they will pay you big money for your research work, for your data, that they will pay you because they know that you have data that is real, not fabricated. You engage people, you go to them, you knock on doors, you get their names, you get their phone numbers, you get, oh, what are they in this community? And you say, okay, we belong to this community, I'm with another community. And you engage people, and you engage corpus, and you engage all people don't think that way. And there is a lot of money to be made. But a lot of Nigerians are quite narrow-minded in their thinking. And what did I tell you at the beginning? I said it is because of the way they classified Africa. We have been labeled and we are behaving in a certain way according to that label. Unfortunately, but it is what it is. If you are going to change that label, you have to change that name. When God was going to help Jacob, what God did for him was to change his name from Jacob to Israel. Simply because by simply calling him Jacob, there was no way he was going to do better. He was only going to behave like that, like an usurper. If they call you dark, you will behave dark, you will think dark. If they call you underdeveloped, you would not be. In everything you do, you just be underdeveloped. People would wonder, the people would write thesis. Oh, look at Singapore. Singapore used to send people to Nigeria to come and study Nigeria. In the last few years, Singapore has grown. They are not doing so well. They are even now in the first nation. They can be considered a developed nation. And see Nigeria. People there will talk about, you know, they used to go to Aga Institute from Nigeria. Christian leaders used to go to Aga Institute in Singapore to go and learn Christian leadership in Singapore several years ago. In fact, some of the pastors I worked with, they traveled to Singapore for Aga Institute certification. And they came back, they were talking about the place, but you know, as widely traveled as Nigerians are, we couldn't bring the wealth that we've learned from other nations to bear in our own country. What has now happened is that we have created a fiefdom. Everybody is building their city now. They are building their own estates with their own electricity, with their own tenants, with their own staff. It has been because now government has failed, in quotes, people are beginning to take the law into their hands and building their things. So we build a parcel of land. We need to build a parcel of land. We need to build. So we become more fragmented in the name of finding development. Because we couldn't do it as a whole. And that is because of the mindset. The mindset. We need to change that mindset. We need to begin to live impactful, meaningful lives. Deliberate, impactful, meaningful lives. We need to look at our neighbor and not see them as people that want to stab us, or want to kill us, or want to finish us, or that are envying us. We need to look at them and see a human being, a soul worthy of salvation, or a fellow Christian worthy of fellowship. We need to. I know that, of course, that because of certain mindsets, some people, the Bible says that we should not fight evil with evil, but that we should overcome evil with good. So a lot of people will say, hey, I tried. People are wicked. People are this, people are that. Before you know it, they will start to backbiting you. They will start talking about you. I mind my lane now. I just mind my business. I don't want anybody to. But that again shows that you are giving up on the light. You are giving up on the light. You are not pushing that light so that it can conquer darkness. At the first sight of a challenge, you are crossing your arms and you are drawing back. Africa is the most religious continent at the moment. Africa and Asia. The West are running away from their own shadows. But Africa is religious. But you can see that being religious is not the solution. Being religious in Africa, because they couldn't get a result by doing it the Jesus way. They didn't tarry to learn the Jesus way and to do it the Jesus way. They began to do it the negative way. They began to pray for enemies to die and to curse and to do all sorts of deliverance and all this rubbish. It's simply because they felt the Jesus way did not profit and they wanted to add something extra. And they couldn't think of anything to add to it because Jesus' way is complete. So they now added the diabolical wing to it, where they begin to talk about somebody that is wearing their cross, somebody that is doing this, somebody that is doing that, and all that. And it's as a result of the inability to be forward thinking. If things are not working in a certain way because you're not doing them the right way, you don't have to then go backward and begin to do them the wrong way, even the more wrong way. So as we speak today, I want you to pick up your mind. We've been praying. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit has been showing us good visions. We've been experiencing tremendous changes. Testimonies are abounding. But there is more. There is that transformation that must happen. And that transformation must happen from deep within your heart. Your worldview must change. You must sit up and look at the environment and think, how can I take advantage of the glory of God, of the wisdom of God, to take this my environment into the light? How can I engage my community? How can I solve a problem by looking at this space and finding a solution to a problem that I know has always been, that I've complained about all the time, and it seems as if there is no solution? If you're in finances, that's how to think. You are in the medical field, that's how to think. No matter what you study, that's how to think. No matter what your heart is, that's how to think. You must think of bringing meaning to people's life, that your own life too may be an expression of meaning. Nigeria had one guy that was quite popular. Some of us haven't known him. The father had mines in Sierra Leone, I believe. They are extremely rich. The father's family were very rich. Until the man died, he enjoyed absolute prosperity. But there was no impact. There was no meaning. There was no legacy. No, nobody, I've never met anybody that said it was this man that did this or that. No. That is not the kind of life you want. You want to be able to impact your world, not just with the gospel. The gospel is both preached with words and both lived with action. Many of us would rather just preach it with words and not live it with our action. And that's not fair. You want to tell people, that's how the Pharisees used to be. Jesus Christ said that they would tell others what to do, but they themselves will not do it. We call them whitewashed tombs. We must not only preach the gospel and tell people that Jesus loves them and that they should become born again. We must also live it. We must, our environment, our communities must know that we are the light. And that is where we bring meaning to this community. And I'm not talking about giving them rice and doing the crusade of 2 hours. I'm talking about actually being felt to be present, being seen to be present, helping to alleviate issues, helping to solve problems, becoming a voice, becoming known, creating a hub for solution and providing a solution. By the help of the Holy Spirit, you will notice that you will win more people into Christ. If you engage people, you will win them. You will notice that you would have more impact on the environment. You will notice that when people have difficulties and they are looking for solution, they will see access to you as a way to find solutions. So they will begin to place you on a pedestal where it will work out to your advantage at the end of the day. Before you know it, you are the spokesperson. You are the voice. And this is what we want. So think on these things. Think on these things in this season, that my life may have a meaning, an impact in this world. Wherever you may find yourself, doesn't matter whether you are in Ikoyi or you are in somewhere else. No matter where you are, that is how to think. Think in terms of solution. Think in terms of solution. Think in terms of solution. Think yourself in terms of meaning. Think in terms of impact. When you do things like this, you will notice not only will your life be happier, not only will your life be better, you will notice that you will feel a fulfillment inside of you, a satisfaction that nobody can take away from you. Glory to God. It's time to give our offering. Well, today's offering Again, it's for the poor, but the offering is an offering of meaning. I'd like you to talk to God. You've heard me speak for 55 minutes. I'd like you to talk to God about the strength, to give you strength so that you can have meaning in life, to show you the areas of impact in your environment, among your friends, your community. Where are you supposed to go? What are you supposed to do? The way God revealed the solution to Jacob in such a manner that he was able to do something outside of scheming. It is time for you to begin to do things, for you to begin to pluck money from thin air, for you to follow paths that nobody has followed before, for you to blaze a trail, for you to do unusual things in your environment, for people to begin to notice that, oh my God, that person walks in unusual light, that he has an unusual knowledge, that we just need to see him, he will solve our problem. For you to do these things and to make an impact in life and in destiny. Speak to the Lord. No matter the country where you are, this message is not just for those in Nigeria, for those in the UK, for those in America, for those in Australia. There are loopholes all around that you are not seeing. There are. People are exploiting them every day to create new devices, to find new employment, to find a new way, to start businesses, to start cleaning services, to start a lot of ventures, that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. That's all. It is not for lack of spirit. It's not for lack of power. It is not for lack of impact. It is time for us to begin to bring meaning to people's lives. It's time for us to begin to experience meaning in our lives. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless Him. Bless the Lord because you know He has done great things. You know that it is His word. He will take you there. He will show you the way. You will go in that direction and you will succeed. It will not be a waste of time. It will not be a waste of effort. It will be a glorious opportunity for you to bring the knowledge of Christ to people and for you to change the course of life and story, to make more connection, to have better networks, and then to see the impact of God in your life in its fullness. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. I declare that your offerings are blessed. I declare that those around you who are poor and needy, even in your family, that their situation is changing. That the beggars will no longer beg, but they will begin to give. That those who today have find their hands to be weak, that their hands will find strength. I declare in the name of Jesus that it is well with you, it is well with your household, it is well with your finances. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. You have done great things, and to you be all the praise. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. If you are blessed, please unmute and shout, glory!
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 Jesus.
God!